Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Matthew. Hey, everybody still excited to be here on this Resurrection Sunday?
Yeah.
I know I am. Amen. God's got a good word for us today. How many of y'all ready to hear what He has to say? Amen. Again, your title today is this: Jesus, My Salvation. What a better title to a message on a more perfect day, is it, than a Resurrection Sunday? How many of y'all like getting up and getting some candy? How many of y'all got candy growing up on Easter Sunday? I know I am not the only one. How many of y'all as adults still get candy on Easter Sunday? Amen? Yeah, that's the good stuff, right? As we get older, we like the candy more than we did as we were kids, don't we? It gives us a little bit more of a sugar rush every now and then. But guess what? Guess what Jesus was doing on that Easter day? He was giving us some candy from heaven. Amen? He said, I'm going to fulfill the prophecies that I was called to. Instead of laying and staying in that grave, amen, He jumped up out of it and brought us the candy of salvation. Amen? All right. Your main scripture today is going to come from the book of John, chapter 20, verse 1 through 18. John 20, 1 through 18. She has it up on the screen. The NIV version says this, starting with verse 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one who Jesus loved, and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put Him. They've taken Him out of the tomb, and we don't know where they put Him. Amen. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the stripes of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. And now Mary stood outside of the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken away my Lord," she said, "and I do not know where they have put Him." At this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Thinking it was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried Him away, tell me where you have put Him, and I will get Him." Jesus said to her, "Mary, Mary." That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? She turned toward Him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni, Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." Ooh, I don't know about you, but that's a good thing to see, ain't it? How many of y'all glad when we can see the Lord? Amen? She said, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that He had said these things to her. Amen? Y'all still excited to be here? I know I am. Amen? Let's pray real fast. Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, I ask you right now, get Ronnie out of the way today, Lord. Lord, as always, may it be your word spoken and not mine, Lord. Lord, as always, may you get all glory, honor, and praise out of everything that we do, Lord. Lord, may you open our heart, mind, and soul to the blessing and the message that you have for us today, Lord. Lord, as we celebrate your resurrection on this Sunday, Lord. Lord, we thank you for everything that you did for us by sending your son to die on that cross for us, Lord. Lord, we ask you to be with the rest of the service. In your name I pray. Amen. Ooh, I don't know about you, but I get excited. When we talk about Jesus coming back, guess what? There's a million other religions in the world. Maybe more or less. That's not an exact number, so don't hold me to that. But we're going to use that right now. There's a million religions around the world, right? But guess what? This might excite some of y'all. Jesus is the only one that ever came back from the dead. Amen? None of the other religions, none of the prophets or fathers or whoever there were, came back once they died. Now they're running around in different countries, different religions, celebrating their religions. Amen? But they can't end up in the glory of heaven with us. Because Jesus is the only one that makes that way possible, isn't it? So your second scripture is going to come from the book of 1 Corinthians 15. I get that word out. 19 through 26. 1 Corinthians 15, 19 through 26. ESV version says it this way. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been risen from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. As for by a man came death, for as a man came death, I'll get that out, by a man has also the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also Christ shall be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his second coming, or at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end. When he delivers the kingdom of God, the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put on all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy is to destroy death. Amen. Ooh, I don't know about you. But sometimes we think Easter, and the world will tell us that Easter is just wishful thinking in our heads. Amen. Satan and the world will tell us that Easter, we're just being foolish. We're just being foolish by thinking that Jesus was raised on that day. Amen? But I don't know about you, but I'm going to tell you right now. Easter is not just wishful thinking for me. Amen? Today on Easter Sunday, we gather to celebrate a myth, a metaphor, a feel-good tradition. We gather around a historical, bodily resurrection. Y'all do realize that, right? The body resurrection of Jesus is in historic record. Amen? Without it, as Paul says, our faith is in vain. And we are to be the most pitied. Because Christ is risen, amen? Everything changes. Because he came back, everything in our lives changes. And Easter itself is truly a cornerstone of that salvation. It's a vindication of Jesus. The validation of the cross. And the beginning of a new creation. 1 Corinthians 15, 19 through 26, Paul gives us a sweeping view of what Easter really means. Not just for Jesus, amen, who rose from the dead, but for all of us that are alive today, amen. We see it because without that resurrection, hope itself is hollow. Without Jesus' resurrection, hope is hollow. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all the people most to be pitied. Amen. Paul's pretty blunt in that message, isn't he? It's basically saying, if Jesus stayed dead, Christianity is a tragedy. If Easter is just a story to help us cope with loss, then it's just a lie, isn't it? The gospel doesn't promise us mere inspiration, does it? But it does promise us resurrection. Real hope for the real bodies in a real future for us. Amen? The world offers temporary distractions and fragile optimism. But Easter itself gives each one of us eternal life. Without that resurrection, the cross itself would be just a martyr's death. Be just a martyr's death, guys. With the resurrection, the cross itself becomes a victory over sin and any death in the future. We also see Christ as the first fruits. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of who have fallen asleep. That term that they use, first fruits, was rich in Jewish tradition. It referred to the first portion of the harvest, brought to God as a promise that the full harvest was coming. Paul says this. He says Christ's resurrection is our first fruits. It's your first fruits. It's my first fruits. Amen. His rising from the dead is our guarantee of our own. Just as Adam's sin brought death to all of us, Jesus' resurrection brings that life to all of us who believe. Amen. In Christ, the grave itself is no longer a prison, is it? But it's just our doorway to heaven. Or hell if we don't know Him, right? Easter is a story of order and completion, I get the word out. Each of His own order. Christ's first fruit. Then as his coming those who belong to Christ. Resurrection is not random, is it? But it is ordered. Christ first. And then, when He returns, those of us who belong to Him. Easter sets in motion a cosmic event and a cosmic reversal of everything that we're dealing with that's broken right now. It is the beginning of the end of sorrow, the end of suffering, and the beginning of the end of sin for each one of us. Amen. The resurrection doesn't just affect an individual's heart. It don't just affect my heart. It is truly the first domino, though, in a chain that will lead to a renewed creation, a kingdom where death has no claim on it. I don't know about you, but I'll be glad to live in that clean kingdom forever. Amen. We also see a king who reigns to crush every enemy. Every enemy. There comes the end. There then comes the end. For He must reign until He has put all of His enemies under His feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Jesus Himself is not waiting to reign. Amen. He's truly reigning right now with God on high in heaven. From the right hand of the Father, He is actively subduing evil for us right now, preparing the world for a final redemption. And at that very last enemy, He will destroy is death itself. Easter is the death of death. Amen. It means that cancer will not have the final word on us. It means that grief will not define us. It means that the cemeteries are not the end of the story for us. Amen. One day, every tomb will empty. And every tear will be wiped away. Amen. Because Jesus lives today, you can face your past knowing that your sins are truly forgiven. You can endure your present knowing that suffering is not the end times. You can also embrace your future, knowing that death itself has been defeated. Amen. So let Easter shape each one of us now. Shape how we grieve, how we love, how we serve, how we suffer, and how we hope. Because salvation, not just the rescue of our soul, but it is a resurrection of our whole self, our body, our mind, and our spirit, forever and ever and ever with Christ. Amen? Death has an expiration date. Every tomb is not just proof of life after death. Amen? But it is a promise of life instead of death. Christ is risen. And because He is, we too shall rise with Him. Let the angels echo, or words echo in our hearts today. What do you seek the living among, or why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, is He? He is risen. He is risen. Amen? And on our main scripture, John 20, 1 through 18, the resurrection of Jesus Christ fulfills God's redemptive plan for each one of us. It inaugurates a new creation, and it assures a personal salvation. The empty tomb itself is evidence of victory and the new creation. Now, on the first day of the week, verse 1 said, guys, the phrase "on the first day of the week" is not incidental. Amen? It echoes Genesis 1, the original creation. Jesus rises on the first day, signifying the dawn of a new creation. It's a resurrection of the first fruits of the new creation. The folded graves, or grave clothes, show that Jesus is not resuscitated like Lazarus was. He didn't come back to life, right? For that little bit of time. But He was glorified. He wasn't resuscitated, but He was glorified. Amen? He has passed through death into resurrection life. Never to die again. Never to die again, guys. The disciples don't yet get it, do they? They don't get the scripture. Like we referenced in the passage, just as Psalm 16:10, where "you will not abandon me to Sheol." And Isaiah 53:10-11, which speaks of the suffering servant seeing the light of life after being crushed. The resurrection is the vindication of Christ's work. Romans 4:25 says, "He was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification." I'll say it again. He was delivered. Who was delivered? Christ was delivered up for our trespasses, and He was raised for our justification. The empty grave itself shows us that the debt of sin has been paid in full, and that death will no longer have dominion over the believer. Amen. It still will have dominion over the non-believer, right? But not over the believer. We also see the risen Christ and the reversal of the fall. In verse 16, John said to Mary, or to her, "Mary." She turned and said to Him in Aramaic, I get that word out, "Rabboni." Rabboni. Mary mistakes Jesus for a gardener. She mistakes Jesus for a gardener. Again, guess what? Not accidental that she mistakes Him for that gardener. Amen. Again, that echoes Genesis 2, where God places Adam in the garden. Just as Jesus is the last Adam. And this new garden is a scene that shows Him as the only one who restores what was lost. In Eden, He is not only the new Adam, but He will also be the divine gardener. Amen. He'll cultivating life out of death for us. When Jesus calls Mary by name, her eyes are opened, aren't they? This mirrors John 10:3 that says, "He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out." Salvation itself is personally rooted in God's effectual calling for each one of us. Her sorrow turns to joy, which fulfills Jesus' promise in John 16:20. "You will weep and lament, but your sorrow will turn to joy." This is truly a picture of regeneration, isn't it? Eyes that were once blind now see. Just as Jesus called Lazarus out of the tomb by name, He calls Mary and all of us, His people, out of spiritual death to life. This is grace. Wonderful grace, right? Marvelous grace. Unearned and intimate for each one of us. Grace unearned and intimate for each one of us. The salvation begins when Christ speaks and we respond. Amen. It don't just happen and start when He speaks, but we have to respond to Him. Amen. We see that adoption into the family. Verse 17 says, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Jesus' words there reflect a true radical shift in redemptive history. He doesn't say our Father, does He? But He says my Father, your Father, showing that through His resurrection, all of our believers are brought into adoption. We're bought and paid for, right? We are called, what? Co-heirs with Christ. His ascension is the next step in the exaltation of Christ, where he presents His finished work before the Father, and He pours out the Holy Spirit. Mary is commissioned by Jesus to go and tell the disciples, echoing the great commission that we have in Matthew chapter 28. She is the first witness of that resurrection, isn't she? Showing that the gospel is not confined to status. The gospel is not confined to gender. The gospel is not confined to background, is it, guys? But it is entrusted. The gospel itself is entrusted to all who believe. Resurrection leads not only to justification, but also to adoption and the mission. We are not only saved from wrath, we are saved into the family of God. And we are sent into the world with that good news of Jesus. Just as Jesus was sent by the Father, He now sends each one of us. So resurrection again Sunday. It's what a glorious morning we have, right? The stones roll away. Tomb's empty. Amen. But it isn't just a story, is it, of a missing body from that grave, from that tomb. It is truly the story of eternal victory for each one of us. We encounter not only the first witness of the resurrection, but also the birth of the new hope for all of us. Today we're going to look at it a little bit. That's what the passage reveals about salvation through Christ today. 28:9 again it says, then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in. And he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the Scripture that He must rise from the dead. The empty tomb is God's exclamation mark for the promise of salvation. Jesus had foretold His death and His resurrection. Without that resurrection, guess what? That cross would just be another piece of wood. That cross would be a tragedy. But with the resurrection, guess what? That cross truly becomes our triumph of grace. Salvation itself is not only the forgiveness of our sin, amen, but it is also defeat of death itself for us. Are you living as if the tomb was still full today? Or do you believe that Jesus is alive and victorious? Verse 16, Jesus said to her, Mary, and she turned and said to Him in Aramaic, Rabboni. Again, that means teacher, right? That means teacher. Mary Magdalene was grieving deeply. She had just lost Jesus. But Jesus met her personally. He didn't send somebody else to give that message, did He? He met her personally. The risen Savior calls her by name. He called her by name. He called her Mary. Guys, guess what? He does the same thing to each one of us. Just like He called Mary by her name, He calls us by your name too. Because salvation itself is not abstract or distant, is it? But it is truly a personal relationship with the risen Jesus. We have to believe that He rose in order to have that salvation moment, don't we? Her sorrow turned to joy. Not through a sermon, right? Not through a sign, right? But through a Savior who knew her. Have you heard Jesus call your name? Have you responded to Him personally? Today's a good chance, right? Verse 17 and 18 says, "Go to my brothers, say to them. The first preacher, this is going to be kind of cool. The first preacher of the resurrection was who? Do y'all know? I'll tell you, I'll let you in on something here. The first preacher of the resurrection wasn't a guy. Uh-oh, what? The first preacher of the resurrection was a woman by the name of Mary. We're just talking about her, right? She was also a woman that was transformed by grace. Amen. The good news of the resurrection is too good to keep to ourselves. Salvation itself is a gift to be shared. And Jesus sends each one of us to tell others. He is risen. What do you need to tell that the tomb, or who do you need to tell that the tomb is empty? And that salvation is available in that Jesus Christ resurrection. The resurrection itself changes everything, don't it? It is truly proof that Jesus is who He said He is. It's the power behind our salvation. It's the personal call to each one of us. And it is truly the mission that we are each given to share. On that first resurrection day, I love this, man. On that first resurrection day, the tomb was empty. The Savior was alive. Salvation was complete. And the messages began to spread. The message began to spread. Ooh. I know they were all excited back then. How about you guys today? If you're here today and you've never responded to Christ, today is your day. Or if you backed away from Him, guess what? Today is your day. Jesus is calling you by name today for salvation, for personal relationship, for grace beyond measure. Will you answer Him today? If you know Him, will you live in victory of the resurrection and share it boldly today? John 20:1 through 18 is not just a moment, is it? It's not just one moment, but it is truly a combination of a grand biblical story. In Genesis, humanity fell in the garden. In John, Christ rises in the garden, reversing the curse. In the Old Testament, the presence of God was in the temple. Now, the risen Christ Himself is the tabernacles for His people. The sacrificial system pointed out to a better sacrifice. Now, the Lamb of God has conquered sin and death for each one of us. We don't have to worry about going through all those old messianic rules, do we? All the old Jewish rules. But we do have a Lamb of God that died on a cross and a piece of wood for us, so that we could conquer our sin and our death. For the seeker today, the tomb is empty. Come and see. He calls you by name. Whatever you're seeking today. To the believer today, the Savior is risen. Amen. Go and tell everybody. Go tell somebody. You are truly a child of God if we're a believer in Christ and Jesus, right? To all of us, Easter itself is not just a day. Amen. But it is truly the foundation of each one of our eternal hopes. As we come for the final song, let's go ahead and pray. If you need Him today, the altar's here if you want to raise your hand to accept Jesus today. It's just as easy as talking to your next door neighbor. It's just as easy as talking to your parent. All you have to do is just say, "I want Jesus right now. I want Him in my heart. I believe that He died, rose on that third day. And I believe that He is my true way to an eternal hope in heaven." Just that simple prayer will give you that salvation relationship to start. If you're ready, like I said, if you want to come to the altar, that's fine. If you want to raise your hand, that's fine as well. But let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank each one of you, Lord, for what you do for us, Lord. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your love nugget that you sent to us, Lord. Lord, to die on that cross, Lord, on that Easter day so many years ago, Lord. Lord, we thank you for continuing to love us through these 2,000 years since that happened, Lord. Lord, we thank you for continuing to be there by our side whenever we need you and want you, Lord. Lord, we ask you just to touch each one of our hearts, Lord, right now. If you're calling us a little bit closer to you, Lord, Lord, may we truly, truly accept that relationship and mission call, Lord. Lord, may we truly look at that cross as the end of our death and grave, Lord. Lord, we thank you for each and everything that you do, Lord. Lord, we ask you that you put somebody in front of us this week, Lord. Lord, that we can truly tell about the love that you sent for us, Lord. Lord, we thank you again for that eternal hope of Jesus Christ, Lord. And Lord, we just ask you to be with us through the next service. In your name I pray. Everybody say it.